Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Turn in your song folder and turn to number 11, please. Number 11.
Some key verses this morning from this morning's adult lesson in Hebrews 12, comparing the old covenant under Moses with the new covenant in Jesus. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Can ushers come forward this morning? Let's lift us to the Lord in prayer. Father, as the song we just sang says, today is a gift from your hand. All good gifts come from you, Father, as it says in your word. And so we thank you for today. We thank you for each one here. Thank you for what they brought with them this morning to give to you, giving back to you just a small portion of what you blessed us with. And I pray you will bless the offerings and tithes this morning. And use them to your glory through your ministries here in this area and around the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a baby dedication this morning, so I invite Todd and Heidi and Ellie and any extended family who want to join them up front in support are welcome to come. Any grandparents or other relatives or... She's pretty active already, huh? We can read about in the Bible of how Hannah prayed for a child and then brought that child to be dedicated to the Lord. We read about people bringing children to Jesus, asking Jesus to bless them. When Christian parents present their child to God before the congregation, they come to thank God for the life entrusted to them and to offer their child back to God and to ask for God's blessing on their life together. We as a congregation come to share their joy, to pray with them for the child's well-being, and to receive him or her into the care of the church. Like Hannah or parents coming to Jesus, you have brought your child here to consecrate her to God. You have come to offer Ellie into the strong and tender providence of God and the nurture of the church. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you have nurtured us, you have cared for us, you have called us by name and claimed us as your own. You have loved us into being, placed us in human families, and blessed us on our journey. By the presence of your Spirit, consecrate Ellie and Todd and Heidi for their journey together through life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There's a few questions you can respond. We do. Do you accept your child as a gift from God? Do you dedicate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, preparing her and leading her to follow Jesus? And do you promise to support Ellie in the purpose and ministry God has in mind for her? Todd and Heidi, may the God who entrusted you with Ellie grant you fullness of love in raising her. And may God grant you to live a life of faithfulness to the gospel before her and your other children so that she might know the way of the kingdom. To the extended family, your role is very significant as well. May you support the godly upbringing of Ellie with your love, your presence, your words, and your example. We pray that as these parents try to raise their child to follow Jesus, that the example of relatives, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and others would strengthen and encourage that young, growing faith. Church family, what a blessing and privilege and responsibility we share as a part of a group of believers. May Ellie grow in faith, encouraged by enthusiastic, biblically accurate teaching, and may she come to know the true hope found only in Jesus, and may she know God's love in a special way through the relationships formed in our church family, even when she pulls our hair. And I'll try to offer a prayer for Ellie. Lord, thank you so much for Ellie. Thank you for making her. Thank you for loving her. Thank you for dying for her and rising again. We pray that she would come to know you as her Lord and Savior and would grow in that faith. Amen. Amen. We did it. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
There is a children's church today, so those involved in that are welcome to be dismissed. And let's pause for prayer together. God, we just come before you and we thank you for who you are. You are great. You've made this whole universe. You've made each one of us. You know us so well. God, we just acknowledge your greatness today. We acknowledge that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, God. I acknowledge, God, that in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of each one of us, our failings, you love us, you have a purpose and plan for us to use us. In spite of the shortcomings of this church, you have a purpose and plan to use us in this community, in the lives of our families. God, thank you for your greatness. You're beyond all our imperfections, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for its truth. Thank you for the accessibility that we have. Thank you for its power in our lives when we allow it. I pray, God, that you would bless this time. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher, be our leader and guide as we look into your word, as I speak and we all try to think and to apply. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are impacted by relationships. The main theme of today's scripture is the truth of God's Word and how all of Scripture is God-breathed. But a strong secondary theme comes out in 2 Timothy 3 and 4, and that's this theme of relationships. My brothers and I have been playing organized volleyball for probably 30-ish years. You think we soon ought to get the idea that we're not 20 anymore, but we still have fun playing volleyball in these leagues. And, you know, our relationships with other people, sometimes they're in seasons, sometimes they're ongoing. We played with a guy named Terry for a while when I was younger. And something about Terry's life, he wasn't perfect, he made mistakes, but something about his life impacted me as a young person. And he would sometimes just have us say a short prayer. So we were all believers that played on this team. That was back in the Zins Park days. He would sometimes have us say a short prayer before we played, and I still remember that. He had some few other sayings too about when you'd hit the ball in the net or different stuff, or if we win this game, even if we lost the first two, if we win this one, we go home winners. We always remember some of those sayings. But our relationships impact us. You're impacted by relationships, and you impact others by your relationships. I'm going to share a few more from my memory in a little bit, and I'm going to invite you to think a little bit about your own people who've impacted you. But let's read together 2 Timothy. If you haven't turned there already, 2 Timothy beginning at chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. The sentence continues, but I'm going to stop there. So Paul is writing this letter to someone who he's been in relationship with, Timothy, kind of like his younger brother, mentee of his brother in Christ, a friend. And he can say this about Timothy: you know all about my teaching, all about my life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, and endurance. So they've obviously spent time together. They ministered side by side. Here where they're apart, he's spending time writing these letters to him. At least a number of the books in the New Testament we have, because Paul cared about Timothy and was sharing things with him and taking time to write it down. This was Jesus' example, right? Jesus ministered to the masses, yes, but I think we could say that Jesus focused more on the few than on the many. Think about the time that he invested in those disciples and how at times he left the crowds and just spent time with them. Some of our relationships are because of the family we're in. Some of them are our blood relations. Some of them are maybe because of work or in school. You know, we have, in our younger grades, we have classes and we have a specific teacher for that season. And we have a great degree of, that person has a lot of influence in our life for that short season. Friends in our lives, neighbors. Some of these relationships are chosen, and some are just happen to be because of our situation in life. They're circumstantial. I think about some other examples of people in the Bible who were kind of this mentor relationship. We have Paul and Timothy, Abram and Lot. You know, Lot was his nephew. There was a relationship there, but yet God had told Abram to go to this other country and take Lot with you. Moses and Joshua. So much of Moses' life, Joshua was right there beside him, learning from him, watching him. Naomi and Ruth, they were kind of brought together through marriage, and then their husbands died, and yet there was this relationship that they made a choice to kind of stay together. Elisha, and we have already talked a little bit about Jesus and the disciples. Could anyone say verse 10 about you? Could someone say that about you? Or could you say that about someone that you're in relationship with? You know all about my life, basically, and my faith and my purpose. What's important to me? Some of us are in marriage relationships. Others are not. But I think this relationship idea fits everyone, young, old, single, married, whatever walk of life we're in, we're impacted by relationships. We are all in relationships that are existing right now. I think an encouragement that I get from this scripture is to make an effort towards what he's describing here in verse 10, that our relationships would go a little deeper, that other people would be able to say they know about our purpose, they know about our faith, they know about our love, they know about what's important to us. The relationships that we have, may we make a specific effort to go deeper. You know, Jesus was very purposeful when he called the disciples. It wasn't just who showed up. He went to them and invited them Will you be my follower? Come follow me. They left what they were doing. It was a purposeful relationship. Jesus kind of left what he was doing. These relationships with a few became very important. Let's continue reading in 2 Timothy, verse 11. So he's continuing, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. That one made me stop and think a little bit. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, okay? I want to live a godly life, and I could say that I've had that perspective for a good while. How have I been persecuted? The more I thought about it, I feel like generally in our country, in our culture, most of our persecution is kind of an indirect attack on our values and beliefs. I'm not really, at least not currently, maybe this day is coming not too far down the road, worried about, you know, being taken to jail or things like that. But there is a real attack in our world and in our culture against any values that we have based on the Bible. You know, anytime we listen to any perspective that's not based on that, it's like an attack on that truth. We see it in media, in the news, in our schools, increasingly all around us. And unless we specifically choose to resist that, it affects us. We can expect challenge when we try to set a standard in our life or in our home. I think of different times when we've made decisions about certain things with our children, and you get the comment, well, they're allowed to do that. You know, other families, they're allowed to do that. Questions from our children. Nelson Okonya talked about needing to restory our lives with the Bible. Stories that are counter to the stories that we sometimes hear throughout the week. Stories of the American dream, or of militarism, or of sports glory, or of consumerism. These messages we hear. We need to restory ourselves with the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And by God's grace, He does that in us. 2 Timothy 3:13. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. So continue in what we've learned and been convinced of. Why? Partly because you know those who you've learned it from. This again points to this example of other people. Other people in our lives and how they've impacted us. I can remember a Sunday school teacher, Mildred Moeller. I think I learned from her the value of serving the church. I think I learned from Mr. Ortman, my fifth grade teacher, the love of running and the love of reading aloud in a group. I'm going to share a few more, and then I'm going to invite you to think about someone in your life, another believer that you were impacted by, and what's something you learned from them. So who's another believer in your life that has impacted you, and what's one thing that you learned from them? I'm going to ask you to share that with someone near you. Okay. Another Sunday school teacher, Grace Musser at the time, I remembered learning, I think I learned this, that it was okay to have fun in church. From various youth leaders, I can remember learning and the blessing of shared experiences and adventures in Christian community. From Mr. Dean, I learned the value of all people and also incorporating faith in public. From Jim and Al Dean, I learned about shared ministry in marriage and crazy, creative fun. From Kirby, I learned the value of laughter and the value of sharing your faith. These were a few people in my life. I'd invite you to take 2 minutes, turn to someone near you, think of someone who, a Christian who has impacted your life, and what's one thing you've learned from them. So take a minute or two. A song that I'm going to share, not the whole song, but just a portion of it, kind of the last part of it. And it's comparing, I think he's a father kind of writing it towards his son. I don't know if it's actually his son in the video here, but I think the songwriter is thinking about his son and recognizing that as he grows older, he's going to have to kind of follow the path on his own and make choices on his own and find his way. And he's using the kind of the poetry of go back to the old paths, the old ways, the one song we sang about ancient words. He's a Christian songwriter, so I'm understanding that he's referring to the old ways, the old paths, as the Bible and coming back to truth. And this is a song, I'm generally not a real emotional person. Sometimes when I hear this song, it really hits me. And as I think about my children and wanting them to, I know that they have to step out on their own and learn and make their own mistakes at some point in life, but wanting them to return to the Bible and to the old ways. So I invite you to listen to this.
And I love
know that was kind of difficult to see, but the imagery was kind of a boy in the beginning of the song. He sort of leaves the path, and the songwriter, I'm not sure if he's representing the father or not, but anyway, he's lighting these lamps to kind of help him find his way back, and then the boy eventually sees those lamps and returns to the path. Let's continue reading in 2 Timothy 3:15. So we know it from those you have learned it. And 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From infancy, we just had a baby dedication this morning, and the importance of starting when they are young, sharing God's truth. 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Such a foundational verse for us to understand that this, God's Word, is indeed God's Word. It's not man's idea. It isn't something people just wrote down because they think it was right. This was God's Word to us. And it's useful. It's helpful. It's vital for us. It's through our understanding of the Bible and through the Holy Spirit that we are able to have and experience purpose in our lives. It's through our understanding of the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, that we are able to have and experience purpose in our lives. It helps us recognize what is truly important and what is of lasting value. Because it's God's idea and He's the author of life. It's what determines whether we're building with, as the Bible talks about, I think, building with straw or wood or precious metals. In our Sunday school class, we've been doing a study on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and Eric Metaxas in one of the videos talks about this seminary that Bonhoeffer was the teacher at, the professor, and Eric doing the video is going back to the location of this, and one phrase he said something like, there's nothing really physical that's left from this time, nothing of the buildings or of his work to speak of physically, but it reminded me of the value of what was being taught and the people that he impacted, those students who went on studying to be leaders in the church. Many of them ended up being drafted into the war, and how what they learned, their time spent in Scripture, how that impacted those lives. One other Scripture I'd invite you to turn to, if you like, is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:16. 2 Peter 1:16. 2 Peter 1:16. 2 Peter 1:16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's something we'll hear in our world today. You people who believe this book, this outdated book, it's a bunch of stories. You actually believe that that stuff happened? He's kind of refuting that. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter speaking, I believe. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. The transfiguration, I believe he's speaking about. And we have the word of the prophets made certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, helping you back on the path, maybe, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, listen to this. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. He didn't just dream it up. It wasn't his idea. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Be convinced in your hearts, in our hearts, that this Bible that we read and study is all true and it's from God. Back in 2 Timothy, I'll just finish it out here. Chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time is coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. People will believe what they want to believe, but you and I, let's not be swayed. Let's make sure our lives are based on the Bible and the lives of those who were following the Bible and who taught it to us. We'll know them by their fruit. God will appear, will judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will not be shaken. That's part of our theme verse this month. It's part of the song we sang, His kingdom will not be shaken. Keep the faith. A reward is coming. A reward is coming. If I had to sum up what this scripture says to me this morning, it's try to live like the Bible teaches. And in the process, share it with a few close friends. Relationships are important. God's Word is true. It's worth basing our lives on. Try to live like the Bible teaches. And in the process, share it with a few close friends. Please pray with me. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You that we can trust it as true, as from You, as God-breathed. Thank You, God. In our lives, You've given us relationships. Help us to be purposeful about them and to maybe dig a little deeper. Be willing to share something of our purpose and our faith with other people that we're in relationship. And maybe there's people that we aren't in relationship right now that You're calling us into a relationship. Just like Jesus made a purposeful decision to step out and invite people to be in relationship with Him. Those few. Thank You, God, for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Things would you like to share with the group?
This is Carolyn, and I have two things. So we got Leah's results back from her liver biopsy, and it showed that there is no rejection, so that's a good thing. Now the thing is trying to figure out what to do with her liver numbers. So they are switching up some of her medications and just seeing if that makes a difference. So we'll do labs on her in another week and see if the new medication has done anything to change what is going on. The second thing I have, a couple weeks ago, Daryl mentioned that our church was asked to do the Backyard Kids Club at the Adamstown Y. Mary's Hill has been doing it, and we are stepping in to do the month of December. Our responsibility as a church is to provide the activities for the kids and also the volunteers to help run those activities. So on the back table in the narthex, I will have a paper. We will be looking for volunteers to move from station to station with kids. It's really not doing anything. It's just kind of being with the kids and making sure they get to the right place. And then we will also be looking for volunteers to help with the different activities, not particularly running them, but just being there as extra hands for the person who is in charge. So if you have a Saturday evening free, it's December 2nd. It's from 5 to 8:30. The kids are there from 6 to 8, but there's some prep time that needs to happen. So we could really use some extra hands, and I think it's a great way to show support to the community and to show support to the kids. In the past, they have quite a bit show up. April said that they usually have about 50 to 60 kids show up. So it is a good and decent amount, so we will need some extra hands. Thanks.
Yeah, this is Doug Musselman. As those who have seniors in high school know that this is a crucial time right now of our seniors making decisions about their future, whether looking for college or looking through the workforce. So I just ask that we all pray for the families and for our seniors during this crucial time.
Hi, Hi, this is Michelle Fry. I just wanted to give you an update on our school situation. There's good news and bad news. I guess it depends how you look at it. 13th and Union was the highest performing school in Reading, so that's my school, so that's pretty exciting. As of the test for last year, we even beat out some of the suburban schools, so of course that makes us happy. Also, our fifth grade team had the highest reading that you could have in the state with our students, so that's also good and lets me see some of our things, and especially prayers are working because there's so much evil that's there. And as of Tuesday, coming back from Thanksgiving vacation, I will be getting 6 new students. So if you can pray for that as well.
This is Esther. We have a wonderful privilege this week of welcoming approximately 50 foreigners into our area for the Thanksgiving weekend. And they will be living with local families. Pray for them that they would see the light. I think maybe about half of them are Christians. And oftentimes those are the ones who can best reach the non-Christians in the group. So pray that this would be a profitable time for the kingdom as we reach out to these foreigners. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Eric Fisher. I have a request then. This week I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone. She's 82 years old, and she had a stroke this past week. I'm asking for prayers, asking for God's strength that she feels better this week, and also another prayer request. I'm asking prayer for my hands acting up. I'm getting severe pain again. If you could keep me in your prayers this week, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Please stand together for a prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love for us. Thank you that we can come to you together. Thank you that Leah did not have rejection for her liver, and we pray that you would guide them as they try to figure out the issue with her numbers. Continue to bless Travis and Carolyn as they make decisions and all those who are giving care. Thank you for your purpose and plan for her life. Thank you for the Backyard Kids Club extreme event coming up in December. We pray that we'd have the help we need and that it would be a good experience and that we'd be able to point those young people to you. It would be a safe, fun event. We think of all our seniors, young people making decisions. We pray that you would guide them and help them find their way and help them to seek you in the process. Thank you for Michelle's report and the good report of the progress of their students and their school. For the specific students that she mentioned with various issues, God, we pray for stability in their families. We pray for safety, for blessing, for your favor. We pray that you would bring them into environments where they can learn about you and they can be in relationships with people who love and care for them, who desire to point them towards you. We pray for them. We pray for her as she, as 6 new students come into her classroom after Thanksgiving. Give her peace and just organizational skill in managing that, God. We pray for all these foreign students coming into the region and for the families hosting them and those who know you. We pray for their impact in the relationships of their peers and the families that will host. God, we ask for your favor and blessing on these relationships for this season. Thank you, God. Pray for Eric and his friend who had a stroke. We pray for her recovery. Ask for your blessing on her life and her experience of your presence and your comfort, that she would know you and your power. Pray for Eric and the pain he's having in his hand. We ask that you would heal him in Jesus' name. We ask for your blessing and favor on his life. Thank you, God, for your word as we go forth. And may we live our lives and base our lives on your word. And may we allow and purposefully even initiate relationships where we are able to share deeply enough that others could say they know about our faith and about our purpose, that we would share relationships with others along the way. Go with us as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Go in peace.